welcome back to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. This is your host, Amos Medford. Thank you so much for stopping by and listening today. We really appreciate it. Today, I'm happy to be joined by Ryan of Chasing Florida Outdoors. And for my fellow Florida natives and residents, this will be a fun one. And maybe for some of y'all thinking about making a trip down to see what the Osceola is all about, it'll be an interesting and informative episode for you as well. Ryan and I had a couple technical difficulties. The edit came out pretty good, but if there might be a quick transition or two, well, you'll be able to catch it. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. But we appreciate you so much listening and sharing and interacting on Instagram and all that good stuff. We have a good time. Try to keep some humor involved, and we enjoy hunting. So good luck to everybody getting out to chase some turkeys this week, and good luck to everybody shed hunting, and everybody already looking forward to deer season and all that'll be going on with that. And we've got some bear hunters and all kind of good stuff in between, so we appreciate it. And stay tuned, so we've got some more stuff coming down the way. But we're gonna keep turkey talk going as people are listening and enjoying. So thanks again for tuning in, and let's enjoy this one with Ryan of Chasing Florida Outdoors. I do also want to say before we jump in, Ryan and I talk about a friend of his that makes some calls, and we'll tag him in the Instagram post. You can check him out. And then also we talk a good bit for a minute about Florida camo. That's something that both of us wear. Neither of us are sponsored by any camouflage company, and I definitely wear more than one, but I can tell you for sure that the past few years I have been wearing Florida camo when I hunt, especially turkey season, but really even deer season with some layers. So check them out as well. We'll keep them linked on Instagram as well, so you can check their stuff out. All right, with that said, let's jump in. Welcome back to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. We're excited to have Ryan with Chasing Florida Outdoors on today. How's it going, Ryan?
Oh, man, it's going good. Can't complain too much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're happy to be here in Florida. You and I both share the love of the outdoors, but also the love of our home state, both being native Floridians. So it's a good place to be.
Yes, sir, it is. And as you hear, there's a lot of other people that think it's a good place to be. We got quite the traffic moving here per day.
Yes, I'm up in Northeast Florida, and I read somewhere, I'm in construction, I read in one of our articles that this area is like the second fastest growing area in the country as far as, you know, building, people moving here. So it's a place folks want to be.
I don't that at all.
Yep. This is neither a medical nor political podcast, but I'll just say the only time we wear masks is when we're turkey hunting.
That's right. If I got my mask on, I'm up against a tree, that's for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you taking out a few minutes and joining me on the podcast today. You mind just sharing with everybody how you got into hunting? If you want to be specific to turkey hunting or whatever, that's cool too. But just kind of tell us how you got into the whole hunting deal.
All right. So my dad's a big hunter, and mm-hmm. I'd probably say 90% of my knowledge from him throughout the years, but he's had me in the woods since, I mean, he tells me I was, 3 years old, he was toting me across the field to the tree stand because the grass was too tall. I'd be soaking wet, and he'd carry a little extra coat for me, and I'd lay down in the double tree stand we had and sleep while he hunted. So that's kind of where I got my feet wet in it at, and from there I always went with him throughout the years. And we didn't really have a hunt, public land hunting. We did duck hunting, mm-hmm. and then when I turned about 5 years old, we started getting hunting leases. I was lucky enough to harvest my first deer at the age of 7, a little 5-point. And from there, it kind of, the fire just fueled even more.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I hear a ton is, you know, they're hunting with their dad. And, you know, that's absolutely awesome. That's something that I'm looking forward to with my kid.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely, I can't wait for her to get old enough where I can take her in the woods.
Yep.
But as far as turkey hunting goes, I was kind of, you know, me and my dad always went turkey hunting, and he's just not a real big turkey enthusiast. He's more of, he likes to chase the bone.
Mm-hmm.
He never really got big into it. So all the way up until I was about 15, we kind of just participated in it. You know, we never, we never really got serious in it. And I don't know, like all those years of not killing turkeys and seeing people killing turkeys, I was like, man, I really want to kill one bad. I really want to kill one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to hold a turkey up and spread his fan out and get a picture with him. So I kind of dove in off on it by myself, and around 14 or 15, started reading a bunch of books and watching videos and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And at the age, I was lucky enough to call in my first long beard and harvest my first long beard. And when I tell you that fire was lit, that fire was lit, and there ain't no putting that one out. that's an addiction that I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, the turkey hunting is a whole different deal. And, you know, I'm for all of it, but man, it is something else if you call one in.
It is. The interaction you get with them turkeys is second to none. I mean, you just don't get that sitting in a deer stand. And I'm not knocking deer hunting at all. When it's deer season, I'm deer hunting, you know, but it's when it's turkey season, man, that's 100% my focus.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's pretty cool, you know, that, like you said, the interaction. And I think that's the thing. Like you said, y'all went together for years and never killed one. But if it ever works out right for you, you're pretty much bitten.
Oh, without a doubt. 100%. And yeah. I've had the luxury. I kind of, you know, there for a few years, my dad got away from the hunting leases and whatnot, and I kind of just started doing my own stuff, hunting public grounds and whatnot. So I'll kind of property hop with people. You know, I'll call you in a bird if you let me kill one. And I kind of done that.
That's pretty cool, though, that you were able to, you know, kind of, I guess, get some permissions on properties by calling a bird for them, and then they let you hunt it.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, this turkey I killed this past season, or this past season, this year.
Right.
He's the first one I've killed. And I think the last one I killed was the season of 2020. Since that last turkey that I killed before this one, I've had 8 of them fall dead in front of me. And 2 of those were people's first turkey. So, and that's a heck of an experience in itself, you know, without even me pulling the trigger on a gobbler. It's neat just being there and calling that bird in and letting them people experience what, you know, a lot of us love and have passions for.
Yeah, and that's really cool because I started hunting as an adult, actually, and, you know, taking somebody hunting is huge. You know, getting somebody to that point, showing them a spot, calling a bird for them, I mean, that's something I want to do. I haven't done it much yet, but, you know, that's I'm sure that's a reward that is pretty amazing.
It is. It's a real big reward. It's almost more of a reward to go and watch somebody do it and they're, you know, they're just in love, you know, especially when that bird gets into, you know, 20 yards and the decoys and he beats the decoys all to heck. I don't know, that's an adrenaline rush to me.
Yeah, I hear you. It's pretty awesome, man. Now, whether it's one of those stories or, or anything else, you know, could you just give us a couple, you know, hunting stories?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, well, I guess we can keep it a little turkey related, but
yeah,
a couple years ago, I got a buddy down a little further south than me in a town called Ona. His family, he's a big rancher. His family there, he's like seventh or eighth generation Florida rancher, cow rancher. And, they have some beautiful, beautiful land with abundance of turkeys. And I got the opportunity to go hunt with him last season, late season, and, to call a bird in for him. And I haven't had very many little picture perfect fly down from the roost, coming to the decoys. I haven't had too many hunts like that. So last year, I go down to Own, and we tried to roost a bird that Friday afternoon, and we were hunting the next Saturday morning, and we didn't hear nothing. It was kind of windy, real muggy. Just, I don't know, just didn't feel like a real good gobbling weather that afternoon, but we didn't hear one. So the next morning, we kind of went into this big oak hammock, pretty well blind. The guy Pat I went with, he had an idea of where the birds might be from the prior year, but as far as knowing where one is that morning, we didn't.
Right.
So we were kind of fiddle farting around, trying to find where we were going to set up, and it was kind of real foggy that morning. You couldn't really see the tops of the trees that well. And it kind of worked in our advantage because as daylight was cracking, this bird gobbled, and I bet he wasn't – if he'd have been – the furthest he'd have been would probably been 70 yards. I mean, he was right on top of us. Mm-hmm. And I told Pat, I was like, we got to sit down right now. If we do any more moving around, he might bust off the limb. And we sat down, and he started gobbling his head off. He probably gobbled 20, 25 times on the limb. And things kind of went quiet for a little bit. And told Pat, I was like, just stay tight. I said, man, they're telling what he's doing right now. He's probably it wasn't. A minute after I told him that, I could hear spitting and drumming. And I told Pat, I was like, I wonder if he's still on the limb doing that. I got that out of my mouth. The other side of this palmetto head we were sitting up next to, I could see tail feathers coming all blowed up. I said, Pat, get your gun up. He is coming right now into the decoys. And he did. He wasn't a massive bird by any means. He was, I think he had a 9-inch beard, 9 1/4 somewhere in there with inch spurs, but he played the role just like you'd want a turkey to play it. Flew down, gobbled his head off on the roost, flew down, and just come beeline to the decoys. And he was about to wolf up on the decoys, but my buddy Pat's trigger finger got a little itching, and he pulled the trigger a little early.
I can't blame him there. Make sure you get it done.
Yeah, I don't blame him at all. I was just happy we knocked one down.
Yeah, that's awesome when they do what you want them to like that, you know, kind of, especially you're taking somebody like that and they got to hear him, you know, just gobbling his head off. That's super cool.
Oh, it was an experience for sure.
That's awesome. Sure. Yeah. What else you got for us?
I can tell you another story on the same ranch, yeah. Almost in the same exact spot this year where I killed my bird. I was lucky enough. Pat was let me come out there and kill.
Right.
And we kind of set up almost in this. Well, we did set up in the same spot as we did last year. And the birds were gobbling, three of them. And they were probably 150, 200 at most from us. And I could tell, like the way the birds were gobbling, especially the one that was the closest to us, he would like gobble. You could tell, like, when they're gobbling to you or away from you, you can definitely hear the difference. And he would like gobble towards us a couple of times, but most of his gobbles were away from us. Like he was facing, like he wasn't even caring about what I had to say or anything.
Right.
It went quiet that morning, and I told Pat, I was like, maybe we ought to move a little closer. I said, he just kind of, you know, projecting his gobble out the other way. Maybe he's done flown down and moved that way. And maybe there's some hens or something that he's seen or he flew up with or whatever. Yeah, I said, let's try to move that way, you know, a little bit at a time, see if we can get him to fire back up. And we did. We moved about 100 yards and called and didn't hear anything and probably went another 50 to 100 more, and he fired off. And he wasn't that far at this point. Now he's probably 100 yards, maybe somewhere in there, give or take. And I told Pat again, I was like, oh, let's sit down. That's how he says, you know, it's 8:30 in the morning. And he could be awake without any hands and, you know, want to come into this end that's calling to him. So we sat down and it's one or two more times and it sounded like he was a little further. And I did some calling to him. Mm-hmm. We sat down. We never moved again. We stayed sitting there and I did some calling to him. Probably 10 or 15 minutes went by and I did a little bit more calling and he gobbled this time and he was like real close. Like you could hear the roll off of his gobble. And I told Pat, I was like, he is on the way right now. And he did. He come running in from the left side of where we're sitting. And I had one hen decoy out there and I didn't want to put it out there, but Pat was already in the motion of putting it out there. And I turned around, I was like, how the heck would it work?
Right.
When he seen that hen decoy, he kind of hung up 70 yards and was waiting, initially waiting on the hen to go to him. And, you know, he'd been hearing. And I just sat there. I didn't call to him. And I just sat there. And he'd take a couple steps and hit full strut. Take a couple steps and hit full strut. And I'm like, oh, this is about to be a long minute before he gets in. And he kind of ended up going, like, the backside of the decoy, like 20 yards or so the other side of the decoy, just kind of like skirting her almost and going past her. And he got in one opening. And I said, Pat, I ain't waiting no more. I'm taking him. And I ended up taking him, 40, dropping him, thankfully. But nice. He seen that decoy, and I'm assuming he was just waiting on her to go to him. And when she wasn't doing that, he just kind of lost interest in her.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting because, you know, for somebody like me, who's fairly inexperienced, you're knowing what decoy to put out and when to put them out and all that stuff is kind of, because, you know, they can really bring them in, but then, like you said, they could also, if they don't act right by just staying still, that could make them skittish even.
Yeah, no. I got mixed emotions about all that, to be honest with you, because the year before, in the same spot, I had a different decoy set up. I had a half-strut Jake with a hen, a breeding hen, and a feeding hen. And that bird come right in and was fixing to wolf up on the Jake.
Right.
And that next year, all I had, I mean, this past couple weekends, all I had out was that hen. And he's, I mean, not that he didn't pay no attention to it, he just wasn't going to come into it.
Right.
So, I've never had real, real good luck. I do a lot of run and gun hunting, so it's just easier for me to, if I do set anything out, it's a single hen.
But right.
I usually just set up next to a tree and kind of let the curiosity get him instead of, you know, the visuality of it all.
I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, definitely a couple ways you can kind of go about it. But that's kind of a good time for me to ask about gear a little bit. You know, what kind of calls do you have a preference on, you know, mouth calls, box, you know, use some of each, or what do you kind of go to?
As far as what I take with me on just if I'm just going to ordinary hunt, going to take my vest and going to hunt turkeys, I got a ceramic, pot call from Pecker Record that I just got, before this season. And I've really come to like that. Usually run a slate. I got a Cody slate call that I usually run, which is awesome. I've had that bit of it,
right?
But that Pecker Record, it's a little different for me to run. It's got a little higher pitch to it than my Cody slate call does, but it's got an awesome sound and it kind of gets louder than that slate call does. So that's why I like having the mixture of the both in there. As far as box call goes, I used to have one way back. I've been kind of debating on getting another one, but as of right now, I don't take one with me. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Never really been a big user of them. I probably should. There's a couple instances this year I've run into where I was like, man, I really wish I'd get me a box one right now, because the loudest thing I can run is my mouth call, and I don't really want to blow the reeds out on it, trying to yelp as loud as I can.
Right.
So I do eventually need to get me another one. But as of right now, I don't run a box call.
I gotcha. And yeah.
As of mouth calls, I was a big Woodhaven guy. I got that I run, and then Woodhaven makes a bat wing. I can't think of the name of it right now.
Right.
Dang, it's gonna bother me. Anyways, I can't think of what it was called, but it was probably one of my favorites. But this year, I went and moved to a buddy of mine, Kyle Thompson. He makes mouth calls, and he lives a little further south of me, and he's nothing real big right now, but he made me two bat wings and a split V for this year. And I've run a split V. I can't put it down. That's what I called my turkey in this year with it. And I don't know how he makes his or what he does different, but they've been one of the easiest mouth calls for me to run as far as, you know, handling it and getting good tones out of it, you know, with clucks, purrs, yelps, cuts. His has been probably the easiest for me to run and move air with.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, if he has Instagram or anything, just shoot that over to me, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I can definitely send it to you. He makes a pretty good call. I was very impressed with the calls that I've got from him this year.
Cool. Yeah, I'm kind of like testing out mouth calls. I'm not too good with them yet, so I'm trying a bunch of different ones. So I'm always up to pick one or two up.
Yep. That was me for the longest time. I didn't really do a whole lot of research in it. These last couple of years, I've kind of taken it a little more serious and on what I get and the cuts that I get and the cuts that I do like. So this year, I kind of going out on a limb, and I was like, I'm going to try something different, you know, just to see if I can get something a little easier for myself. Because, I mean, as you know, with running mouth calls, they are the easiest call to run all the time. Mm-hmm. They're very convenient and helpful to use.
Exactly. I mean, that hands-free can be huge. I can only imagine because, like I said, I can't run one. But it's pretty challenging sometimes to get a sound and then trying to refine that to actually be a turkey sound is a whole different issue.
Yes, sir. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm not the greatest on the mouth call, and I've been, you know, practicing and trying to run them for years.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not an overnight process, and, there's no need to get discouraged if you can't make that, you know, exact tone that you're shooting to make at that exact moment, you know. Practice. Yeah. The best time to practice is in the truck. Ain't nobody in there but yourself. You ain't annoying nobody. Ain't nobody telling you to put that call up. I'm tired of hearing it. just you and the practice.
Yep. I think that's the ticket, is just keep practicing, especially like you said, when you're riding down the road. Just keep working at it. That's my plan.
It is. The more time you put in on it, you'll figure it out, you know, different ways. And everybody's different. You know, one mouth call might work for you great, and I can go get that same mouth call, and I couldn't make a sound on it to save my life. I mean, everybody's mouth fixtures are different, so.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt about that. Is there like a specific vest that you, you know, use or wear? Or?
Most of my stuff is still pretty old.
Yeah.
The other day I just sold my shotgun, and that was my first turkey gun. I've been using it since I killed my first turkey with it, I think.
Wow.
8 years ago now. Yep. So my dad bought me a turkey vest. I think I turned 16. He bought me a turkey vest.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using that same one ever since.
Hey. If it works, it works.
Yeah. I mean, I probably need to upgrade, especially now with the more – mine's not really like a running gun type style. It's a little bigger, bulkier vest.
Yeah.
Very comfortable vest. But it's not like the slim fit running gun like you see a lot of them making now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've talked to a lot of guys, and, you know, the consensus is, like, you know, more deer and turkeys – have been killed in Army surplus and Walmart camo than anything. But you know, there's nothing wrong with having good gear either.
No, not at all. And I'll tell you what, this year I got me some Florida camo. And
yes,
this turkey season is the first year that I've had a full set of matching camo. So, I mean, I've always been the mixed match type.
Get some
Walmart Real Tree pants and throw a Mossy Oak Bottomland shirt on. I mean, I don't know. It's one half dozen of the other when it comes to camo to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. But the Florida camo is very nice. And I think not only obviously their Florida branding is one thing that appealed to me as a native Floridian. But one thing that appealed to me was a lot of the like nice or technical gear, camo, whatever you want to call it, that I was seeing. You know, they kind of stayed under that, like, I'm never going to buy that price point, you know?
Yeah.
That helped me a ton.
Yep, I know exactly what you mean.
Walmart stuff, more than the Walmart stuff, but not, like, ridiculous.
Right, yeah. And I'm heard the hype about Florida camo for a year or so, and then I finally broke down, and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna try this stuff. And I've actually been utterly impressed as far as, you know, like talking native Floridians. And I mean, you know, as well as I do that we endure some pretty, you know, hot situations in our hunting, you know, throughout archery season and whatnot. It gets pretty hot and humid. So that lightweight camo just took it to a new level to me. I mean, it was Florida people designing Florida camo for the conditions that we hunt in. And that's kind of why I've taken a liking to it so much.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm definitely not over 80, and you know, I'm in the north part of the state, so.
Yeah, I tell you what, you get down here. I'm not saying it ain't hot up there, but for some reason, man, down here in south, that early archery season will make or break you for sure.
I believe you. I will take your word for it for now. Oh man, what you mentioned? You sold your first gun. What shotgun are you using now, or what's the setup?
So for some reason, for the last couple of years, I've been fascinated with single shot turkey guns. I don't know why. And a lot of people are like, "Oh, you're giving up three shots for one, and depending on one, how fast you can reload." And I'm like, "Well, I understand that, but I went and got." I found a deal at a local gun shop around here. It's not really a gun shop. He's basically in the outdoor world. He does a lot of selling lawnmowers and stuff, but he's got a pretty good arsenal of guns and ammo.
Right.
And they're from where I work, so I just happened to be in there one day on lunch break, and I seen these two Stevens 301. They had a 410 and a 20 gauge, and they both had red dots and the extra full turkey chokes in them.
Right.
I was like, I want those. I want those bad. Debating between the Stevens 301 or the Rossi, their Rossi, little 410 Rossi turkey gun, I don't know what they call it, but that was my debate. And I seen these Stevens, and my girlfriend, I got her first turkey last year, and she's kind of, you know, caught the bug, so to speak, nice. The turkey hunting. So she's getting into it pretty heavy herself now, and I thought, well, I'm always asking to borrow people's guns when I take somebody, or like, you know, youth weekend, you know, got a kid, you're like, oh, hey man, let me borrow your gun. I got a youth this weekend. So I figured the best bang for the buck, I got that 20 gauge and 410. So that's what we're running now is the Stevens 301 20 gauge and 410.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. That's a name I've heard, the Stevens 301 for sure. So that's pretty cool.
And I just and came in the mail yesterday, my shipment of Rogue ammo. So I'm excited to be part of the TSS family now and see how that works with these guns. Because before, my old 12 gauge, I only shot the Longbeard XRs, which are killer ammo. Don't get me wrong. The Longbeard XR 3.5 number sixes are, I mean, I killed all my turkeys with those. So I'm not knocking them at all. I hear.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I shot TSS for the first time And that, again, that was the first thing that I'd ever shot other than Longbeard XR as well. And I had good luck with it to start off this year. So hopefully we can keep it going.
I seen you got your turkey.
Yeah. That's my second turkey. Shot my first one 3 years ago. And
nice.
I'm excited. I'm going to try to get one more and tag out if I can.
That's what I'm shooting for. In Florida my whole life, and I've never won a turkey season and tagged out. You know, I usually what happens is I do a bunch of calling for people throughout the beginning of the season, and then like the last few weekends I try to hunt hard myself. So I do it to myself. I kind of run out of time, and I've never had the opportunity to shoot too. So that's what I'm going for this year.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That would be really cool. Yeah, I went last Friday, and I heard from several other people right in my area that they've really shut up around here. And so I'm interested to see if they, like, crank back up or if it's just, you know, something wacky on our property or weird in that area or what. I'm not really.
No, it's kind of crazy because I've heard that from a bunch of people around here too. And not this past weekend. But the weekend prior to that, we had some clients come down from Alabama hunting with us.
Right.
And, man, we went all weekend long. And this is a ranch that's pretty heavy populated with turkeys, I'd say. At least you'll hear a gobble. And we didn't first gobble all weekend. We had a couple birds that we tried to make moves on, but I mean, we didn't – no gobbling. And I don't know, they were just acting real strange to me. Real hard to hunt, you know, not responsive at all, no hens talking, just kind of different. And then I go this past weekend, Sunday morning, I went with a buddy of mine, just probably a couple miles from my house. And I tell you, I'm probably 10 years. There was between 80 to 100 gobbles Sunday morning. And I mean, all the way from on the limb to flying down and gobbling on the ground. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Now to say that, sounds crazy. We didn't kill a bird, but I mean, that's her. We tried. We had one coming, and there was a group of two gobblers and five hens that intercepted him. And of course, he seen those hens and was like, oh, wow, I'm not going to keep walking to this one that I hear when I see three of them right here I can go hang out with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I kind of experienced that last year, which that's the funny thing is, you know, I've talked to some people that think, you know, maybe the season is a little late in this area or whatever. And of course, you never know. But, you know, second to last day of season, I saw, you know, two strutters with hens last year. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. And of course, that's the end of April. So I'm like up here.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't understand it, but. You know, it wouldn't be the first time I didn't understand something turkeys or deer or whatever did, but it's kind
of. Well, I definitely feel like that's just turkey hunting. Half of it is you don't understand. But on that subject, a lot of that's got to do with actual bird themselves, you know?
Right.
Like, I've heard that a lot, and I've even said it myself, you know, oh, they need to start the season 2 weeks earlier. You know, these birds have been fired up for a month now. But honestly, like you say, you get those birds at the end of the season, just like my buddy Pat's last year. I mean, it was the last weekend, Saturday morning of the last weekend, and this bird gobbled 20-20. I mean, on a line, like it was opening day, you know. So I mean, I think it's kind of how you get birds. I mean, they all got different personalities, just like people do. So
yeah, it's true. I think you're right.
And taking it and. And taking into consideration, you know, gobbling and whatnot throughout the season, especially the later in the season you get, you know, we're not only the only ones chasing a gobble, you know, coyotes are, bobcats. I mean,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of other stuff capitalizing off the sound of a gobble other than us hunters.
True. Yeah, that's for sure. And I can imagine that plays into it. So it's interesting for sure.
I've definitely always kept that in my mind is that, you know, turkeys will gobbling the limb so hard. And then especially Osceola, and I've never really hunted Easterns, but especially in Osceola, I've always thought a lot of the reason they didn't gobble on the ground was.
But, yeah, I think you're right. It's probably, you know, some of that, the pressure or whatever, you know, from other predators other than us, you know.
Yes, sir. And I don't know, do you hunt a lot of public land up there, or is it most a lot of private if you get permission?
It's mostly private. And one thing, I don't know if you ever looked at the Florida, but in the Jacksonville area, there's almost no walk-up stuff. It's that quota type stuff. So I've put in, I just haven't got anything in. Yep.
There we got, there's two around here close to us that we got that are walk on. But I mean, and especially turkeys, a lot of it is drawn, a lot of it's quota around here. I'm assuming maybe because of how sought after the Osceola is. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, maybe.
But I've never got drawn. I've been applying for 3 years and I ain't got drawn either, so don't feel left out.
Okay, cool. I just making sure it wasn't just me. But
I just had a buddy of mine send me his unsuccessful application yesterday, and I was like, oh, at least I'm not the only one that feels like a loser.
Right. Yeah, and you know, maybe somebody listening is like, hey, you're dead wrong. There's a bunch of walk-on places near Jacksonville. You know, shoot me a message. Let me know.
Yeah, for real. Drop me some pins while you're at it.
Yeah, man, it's pretty wild, but that's awesome. Is there any other, you know, either gear or anything regarding, you know, kind of what we've been talking about with calling them and all that good stuff that you want to mention?
One thing I've recently added as far as gear goes, one thing I've recently added this year is, I cut off the turkey I killed this year. I cut the, I don't know what you'd call them. I guess the wings that drag the ground when he struts. Mm-hmm. I don't know what part of the wing that is, but I cut those off and I've dried them out, cut the meat out and dried them out. And I put those in my vest, you know, to flap or whatever I need to do, like fly downs or just scraping at the leaves. I don't know, just kind of a little bit more turkey noise. That's other than actually having to call to them, you know. And
yeah,
just kind of generate a atmosphere of calmness, I guess, to them without actually having to yelp or purr or cluck at them.
Yeah, that's
cool. And I haven't can't per se it's really worked for me, but I did. Was playing with them when the birds were gobbling this past weekend, and I don't know if they were gobbling at me. They were gobbling while I was doing it, so I'm assuming what the heck they were gobbling at. Songbirds chirping. So, I mean, there really was no telling Sunday, but I'm excited to see if it does help me out. Or, I mean, I'm sure it can't hurt.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I feel like that's something that, like, the – kind of goes back to some of the old school turkey hunters, you know, they used to always have a wing or whatever with them, so that's pretty cool.
Yep. And like I said, I it can't hurt, man. It can always be a, you know, last resort.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, you get to a certain point, you know, turkey hunting, it can get frustrating, so it's always good to have one more thing to try.
It's very frustrating. You're always looking for that last resort.
Yep.
You've done been through every call in your vest and tried to get around on him as much as you can. Yeah. Sometimes it's just that last resort that gets him.
Yeah, no, I like it. Well, you know, I just want to give you a chance to point everybody in the direction of Chasing Florida Outdoors. You know, I know you're on Instagram. I don't know if there's anything coming up as far as if you're trying to film stuff or what the plan is, but, you know. Give us the rundown.
Yeah, definitely trying to get in the more of the filming side of it. I'm trying to up my gear. I got a handful of GoPros right now that I'm running with, but those GoPros ain't that great for those 40-yard shots.
Right.
So I'm working on getting a little setup going. But as far as Chasing Florida goes, I mean, you can follow me on Instagram, Chasing Florida Outdoors. But we're working on getting – actually got in the works right now, getting some shirts made up and some hats, of, you know, the usual stuff. But other than that, I mean, I really don't have anything big in the books for chasing Florida right now. Just bringing awareness to conservation and staying in the woods, about all I've been doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not everybody, it's not cut out for everybody to do a, you know, some full production show or whatever. I know it's not for me, that's for sure, but that's cool.
It's definitely a lot of work. Not that I've even got a big, but, right. Oh, also, I am working on getting a podcast channel up and going. I haven't got very many steps into that yet as far as making it, but in the near future, I am definitely looking forward to having some podcasts and having some guests come on.
Very cool. That'll be awesome, because I'm always good, you know, good to hear some Florida hunting, you know, tactics and stuff like that, because it is a different animal, especially when we start talking about deer hunting and all that. It's like, everybody's like, you know, you just go to a bench on the side of a hill. It's like, pretty flat here, man.
Yeah, that doesn't really work around here that good.
But no, that's cool. Yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye out for, you know, for the podcast upcoming, and, you know, keep following along on Instagram so far. Seeing some good stuff, so that's pretty cool.
I sure do appreciate it, buddy. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you taking some time and joining me today, but I'll let you roll, and I think we're both going to get back to work, but I appreciate you joining me and just let me know what you got going on, and I've definitely made it at least some mental notes, a couple of them written down, so I appreciate you sharing with us.
Yeah, man, not a problem. I was happy to be on here. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks again so much for listening to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast today. We really appreciate it. Definitely want to say a big thank you to Ryan for coming on. I enjoyed talking with him. And just want to thank everybody for tuning in. And do want to say, like I said before we jumped in, both of us use Florida camo. So that's something that we've, you know, literally spent our money on. You know, no commissions, no coupon codes, whatever, but that's literally a brand that we use and, you know, feel pretty strongly about. So definitely check them out. But we want to say thank you again for tuning in, and I appreciate everyone following along and supporting. It's been awesome. It's been fun. So let's keep it going. As always, honor God, work hard, and keep hunting.